Illinois District U46 attorney affirms right of men who pretend to be women to supervise girls' locker rooms. Everyone should listen to three segments of the most recent school board meeting in the continually controversial District U46. These segments offer a picture of the type of collision between wisdom and foolishness that should be taking place in every government school right now. The wise and courageous heroes in this collision are school board member Jeanette Ward and community member Ina Silva Sobolewski. The fools include the relentlessly sanctimonious and indignant Veronica Noland and her ideological ally, Melissa Owens, as well as appointed board member John Devereaux, board president Donna Smith, the district's chief legal counsel, Miguel Rodriguez, and staff attorney, Luis Rodriguez, no relation. The first profile in Courage and Wisdom comes courtesy of community member Sobolewski, who began the public comments by reading a description of the many responsibilities of faculty members and then said this, and I quote, "Besides the tasks listed above, it is expected that teachers take on knowledge of the supposed 63-plus genders out there and attend to the personal needs of other teachers as well. Gender, along with the notions of gender identity and gender expression, are socially constructed categories that were created in the fevered imaginations of gender studies activists. There is no basis for them whatsoever in the fields of genetics and neuroscience. It does not mean we do not have compassion for people who have cognitive dissonance with their biology, but our pedagogy must not succumb to the pressures of the latest fad in political correctness," end quote. Wow. Here's the even better news. This remarkable woman, who comes from Brazil and speaks English, Portuguese, and Spanish, is running for the U46 school board in the April 2nd election. Find her, encourage her, pray for her, and donate to her campaign. We are all well served by the public service of good people in any community in Illinois, and she, like Ward, who is up for re-election on April 2nd, is sacrificing much to step into the lion's den of U46. The board proceeded to summarize proposed changes to school board policy, which include adding gender, as distinct from biological sex, and gender identity to the existing list of conditions for which employees may not be harassed. Harassment is defined in part as, quote, "unwelcome verbal conduct of a sexual nature," end quote. The remarkable Jeanette Ward was concerned that this ambiguous language could be exploited by trans-identifying employees to force colleagues to refer to them by opposite-sex pronouns in violation of their beliefs about lying and reality. Ms. Ward is wise to be concerned. Ward requested that the language be revised to clarify what kind of speech constitutes harassment in order to protect free speech and to bring the policy into alignment with court decisions. She requested that harassment be defined as verbal or physical conduct that is, quote, "severe, pervasive, and objectively offensive," end quote, thereby replicating language used in the Supreme Court decision Davis v. Monroe County Board of Education, which dealt with peer-on-peer harassment. It also mimics the language used in the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights 2003 Dear Colleague letter, which stated that the, quote, "OCR has recognized that the offensiveness of a particular expression, standing alone, is not a legally sufficient basis to establish a hostile environment under the statutes enforced by the OCR. In order to establish a hostile environment, harassment must be sufficiently serious, that is, severe, persistent, or pervasive." Ward said, quote, "I am concerned that the addition of gender identification to this policy section sets teachers up for compelled speech in violation of the First Amendment. It could be construed to mean that a teacher who refuses to refer to another teacher by the sex they are not is harassing them. So, does unwelcome verbal conduct of a sexual nature include using grammatically correct pronouns to refer to a colleague who assumes the identity of someone of the opposite sex? To be clear, I'm asking if district employees are required to use grammatically incorrect pronouns when referring to colleagues who assume an opposite sex persona, even if such pronouns deny reality and or their religious convictions about lying and or the meaning of biological sex," end quote. Hoo boy, That launched Veronica Noland into one of her self-righteous diatribes against Ward, accusing Ward of being politically motivated, of using language deemed offensive by the politicized medical community, and of being tiresome to Noland. At least as offensive as the ideas Noland expressed was the condescending way she communicated to Ward. Would Noland communicate the same way to community members who share Ward's views? I would urge everyone to watch her performance. Compare how she expresses her positions with how Ward expresses hers. And if you go to this article online, I have both a link to the video and timestamps for all the quotes. Noland said Ward's comments were, quote, filled with opinion, with negative stereotypes, with unaccepted terms that the established, accepted medical community does not adhere to, and I just have to reject it. This is, I believe, a political opinion, and one that is wasting our time. I'm getting tired, as many people are, of this constantly attacking these protections of our students, end quote. If I'm not mistaken, much of what takes place in all school board meetings is opinion expressing. And I'm pretty sure that this statement of Noland's is filled with opinion. One thing I'm not sure about is what negative stereotypes Ward used. Maybe someone else can ferret them out of her statement, which I quoted. Noland stated 3 times in the course of the meeting that she's tired of Ward's concerns about the board's promulgation of a leftist political and moral ideology regarding students and employees who pretend to be a sex they aren't. Does Noland care if Ward is tired of the district's endless efforts to efface the meaning of biological sex? Doubtful. Board member Melissa Owens then blathered a bunch of hooey. And I quote, "We're obligated under state law to make non-discriminatory employment decisions. So once a person is hired, it's our responsibility to provide a workplace that is free of harassment. That's our responsibility by law. So if that's something you, that is Ward, want to change, you, Ward, have to do one of 2 things. You have to go to the state and get an amendment passed that is directed at the Human Rights Act and terminate non-discrimination rights for transgender persons. That's one. The other thing that you can do is you'd have to convince the board here to change a handful of policies so that we can act in a manner that is inconsistent with state law and with the Illinois School Code. Gender identity is a protected class under the Human Rights Act," end quote. So clever in her mockery of Ward and so ignorant. Setting aside the monumental blunder of including a condition constituted by feelings, that is, gender identity, in the Human Rights Act, did Owens listen to Ward? Is she obtuse? Or is she cunningly trying to distract her audience from listening to Ward's warning? Ward said nothing about seeking to create a workplace in which employees are free to harass one another, or about seeking to terminate non-discrimination rights. Rather, Ward asked to include language that would make clear what harassment is and therefore what it is not. Ward is apparently the only board member who understands that the intent of a policy or law is less important than how the specific language could conceivably be construed. She's apparently also the only one who understands that a person who adopts an opposite sex persona could use the district's ambiguous harassment language to file a harassment complaint against a colleague for refusing to use incorrect pronouns. Moreover, there is no state or federal law preventing U46 from including language from the OCR and Supreme Court decision in Davis v. Monroe County Board of Education, which is what Ward requested. Owens continued foolishly pontificating, and I quote, "I don't see anything in this policy that mandates the use of pronouns. Address the person by name. I would hazard to guess that every single one of the adults sitting in this room at some point has to deal with, at least on occasion, somebody at work that either does something that they find morally objectionable or says something that they find personally repulsive. We address people by their names. This is treating someone on a basic humanity level. I would expect people to treat other people with dignity and respect," end quote. Wow, so much to unpack. First, there are many contexts in which repeatedly using given names in order to completely avoid pronouns would be awkward and unnatural. Doable, but weird and stilted. Second, while the policy says nothing about pronoun use, it defines harassment as unwelcome verbal conduct of a sexual nature. Based on this language, could a male teacher who pretends to be a woman file a harassment claim against a colleague who refuses to refer to him as her? Of course he could. Third, the most obvious and significant flaw in Owen's reasoning, another flaw that reveals she didn't understand Ward's concerns, is her argument about the need to deal with coworkers who engage in behaviors others find objectionable. That's completely irrelevant, because Ward's concern is not with how employees feel about colleagues' behavior. Her concern is with employees being forced to engage in speech acts they find morally objectionable because their colleagues demand it. Enormous difference. Fourth, Owens rightly argues that everyone should treat others with dignity and respect. She presumes, however, that there is agreement on what constitutes respectful treatment. Many people believe it is profoundly disrespectful to others to participate in or facilitate a fiction by referring to men as she or women as he. Chief Legal Counsel Miguel Rodriguez then seemed to contradict Owens when he stated that it would violate state and federal law if a colleague were to say to a trans-identifying person who has undergone the whole process that you're not who you say you are. Board member Devereaux objected to the language Ward proposed, arguing that it creates an incredibly high hurdle for employees to leap over, so high, in his opinion, that it might dissuade employees from filing complaints, which he views as deeply undesirable. His goal seems to be to make it easy-peasy for employees to file complaints, thereby increasing the likelihood that frivolous or unsubstantiated complaints will be filed. But the most shocking statement from district attorneys was yet to come. Ward asked if a biologically male teacher who believes he's a female could be assigned to supervise the girls' locker room, and if so, would parents be told? First came 20 seconds of dead silence, then some nervous jibber-jabber, and finally Miguel Rodriguez said yes. Poor, naive staff attorney Luis Rodriguez, not understanding either the trans ideology or the political implications of his response, said, I quote, I would think that in a scenario where we have a need for male staff with male students, that would obviously be what our administration would be doing, end quote. Rodriguez clearly does not understand that the trans ideology demands that everyone conceive of and treat biological men who pretend to be women as if they are, in all respects, objectively female, and vice versa. A biological male who pretends to be a woman would expect to supervise only female students. A biological female who pretends to be a man would expect to supervise only male students. And Rodriguez's administration would be doing whatever trans ideologues demand, because all that matters to the administration is not being sued. Truth and decency are far down the administration's list of concerns. After Miguel Rodriguez answered in the affirmative, CEO Tony Sanders, likely realizing the political sticky wicket into which the district's chief legal counsel Rodriguez had just plunged the district, jumped in saying nervously, I don't see that hypothetical ever happening. Yeah, right. That'll never happen. 10 years ago, no one would have foreseen a day when boys would be requesting and getting access to girls' locker rooms, and no one would have foreseen a day when a male teacher would be disciplined for refusing to supervise a girl in the boys' locker room, and no one would have foreseen a teacher being fired for refusing to refer to a girl as he. Ward responded rationally, and I quote, I think this policy leaves it open because it says personnel will be assigned without regard to race, creed, color, gender, or gender identification, which includes allowing a biologically male person who thinks he's a female to be in charge of girls in the locker room. And apparently, we're not going to tell parents, end quote. In the middle of Ward's last two sentences, science denier Noland rudely cut her off to object to Ward's use of, quote, terms offensive to transgendered persons, and for telling them that they are biologically one thing or another, end quote. Surprisingly, Noland isn't woke to the fact that transgender persons are one biological sex or the other. Every trans-identifying person has a biological sex, knows what it is, and knows it will never change. Noland evidently isn't woke either to the fact that offense is in the eye of the beholder. I'm offended by the term transgender because it embodies a set of destructive and false assumptions. I'm offended by statements like men can have uteruses and women can have penises. I'm offended by the presence of biological males in the private spaces of women. I'm offended by girls and women being forced to compete against biological males in sports. I'm offended by the demand by progressives to upend English grammar to serve the delusions of a few. I'm offended by the chemical sterilization and surgical mutilation of minors. After the second condescending scolding by Noland, in which she again criticized Ward's concerns as being politically motivated, Ward stated the obvious, which is that the entire pro-trans, anti-science, doctrinaire dogma that cultural regressives like Noland push is politically motivated. Noland does not stand ideologically outside the leftist political universe like some omniscient, objective goddess, God. She has embraced and promulgates a leftist social, moral, and political ideology. The view that restrooms and locker rooms should correspond to subjective internal feelings about maleness or femaleness rather than biological sex is not a fact. The belief that it's healthy and good for minors to be affirmed in an ontological delusion is not an objective fact, not even if 60 members of the politicized American Academy of Pediatrics believe it. Both are arguable assumptions that are, through political mechanisms, being foisted on everyone as if from on high where Noland has perched herself. If you would like to help an inspiring school board member, take a drive this Saturday and stop by Jeanette Ward's fundraiser for her re-election campaign. In addition to helping a courageous woman who endures much to fight for truth and children, you can hear and meet Jeannie Ives and Ina Silva Sobolewski. It's this Saturday, January 19th at 2 p.m. at FTX CrossFit in Wheaton, Illinois, and the address is in this article online.